Welcome to Grow Your Influence, leadership conversations for business owners and managers. Whether you own a business and have a team, or leadership is part of your role, welcome, you're exactly where you need to be. Join co-hosts Juliette Robinson and Christy Lee Billett for their regular conversations on all things leadership. No corporate jargon, no textbook ideologies, just real life experience unpacked in a relaxed way to help you be your best boss and lead your team with confidence, clarity, and control. This is Grow Your Influence. Let's dive in. Hello, and welcome to this episode of the Grow Your Influence podcast. Today's topic is one that I think every leader needs to hear about. And today we're talking about the promises we make to our people. And particularly today, Juliette and I are going to discuss what happens when we don't follow through on the promises we make, the impact it has on our team's morale and particularly their commitment to their role, and some of the consequences of the very small promises that we fail to keep with our team. Juliette, hi.
Christy Lee, hi. I love this. I think this is such an important one because so often it's about the things that aren't said but are understood.
Yes, isn't that true? Actually, I hadn't even thought about that angle when we hit record, but it's so true that a lot of the promises our team are expecting from us are maybe not explicitly spoken, but assumed to be true, and the impact of those promises not being fulfilled can be huge on our teams.
Absolutely. And I think sometimes it's just about, and because they're not talked about, people experience them but don't say anything. But what we know is that, you know, when we go to work, when we work in a team, whether we're in the office or not, we all have a series of expectations about how this will work.
Yes.
That we don't need to discuss usually, and we certainly tend not to discuss when we're bringing people into the team, because they're just taken as a given. And that will be things like, you know, we're inclusive, you know, that everybody will have a say perhaps, or that it's okay to question things or bring your ideas, or, you know, those sorts of things that we just assume are going to be okay. And then we raise something or we question something that's gone on in the team forever, and suddenly people are looking at us as though we've done something terrible or exclude us because we're suddenly seen as difficult to work with potentially, or, you know, that sort of thing. So the psychological contract is a really tricky thing, I think.
Yeah, it is tricky, but it's also super simple. It's the common understanding that we have between each individual team member and ourselves and what we have psychologically committed to in this employee-employer relationship. Like, really, it boils down to just that. And like everything, when it comes to leadership challenges, it also comes down to communication and how effectively we have communicated our expectations in this contract, and our team have understood both their expectations of us and our expectations of them. And when we're not clear on that, that's when we've got issues. In fact, I heard, I'm sure it was Simon Sinek talking about this recently. I can't remember, it was on a podcast. And he was explaining that if someone works at, and I'm sure his example was Amazon, they're not expecting, you know, a particular type of workplace that is at a certain pace and cares about its people deeply, because Amazon don't pretend that they are that kind of workplace. They are clear in the psychological contract they have with their employees that this is a hustle culture, that we get a lot done, that we'll reward for those results. And that's they're very clear on that. So people don't join that team with a different expectation. So I think it's a matter of being really clear from the outset when we're making that psychological contract about what it is we're all opting into here.
I think that's so true. And you're right. People working for Amazon particularly, you know, that sort of environment, if somebody is rude to them, are probably not going to be as concerned by that in the workplace as somebody who joins an organization that talks a lot more about collegiality and connection and inclusiveness.
Correct. Yeah, you can't use the words and then not live true to them. I
Yeah,
think
absolutely.
that's key. And I see this play out with businesses that I work with all the time, and the businesses that have the biggest problems with employees, or employees not being happy, or constant issue, are those that do not follow through on what they say they're going to do, that have not been clear on the psychological contract, or even worse, continue to break the contract at the employer end. And
Yes.
nothing, I think absolutely nothing, undermines trust in team members faster than that.
I agree. I think if you're going to actually say this is the way we operate and then not uphold that, that is where you lose people. That is where the psychological contract gets broken quite definitively. Whereas I think when it's not spoken, when it's not clear, people come in with assumptions about what's going to happen and then feel that they're not included or that behavior is not the way they think it should be. It might take longer for that contract to be broken,
I
but
agree.
it's
Yeah. And it's and that's more about expectation setting and expectation explaining than it is about making a firm commitment and then failing to uphold on that commitment. And that, as you said, the damage is sometimes totally irreparable, but more often takes a very long time to repair, because employees can hear, oops, sorry about that, but they don't, what they want to see is a change in behavior. And if they see that you've said sorry and that you didn't mean to do that, but you keep doing similar things, they see the actions over the words every time.
Oh, totally. And I think that's it. I think you can breach the psychological contract in little ways a few times and get away with it. You know, trust might be dented, but people will generally give you the benefit of the doubt if, you know, if everything else lines up.
Correct.
But if they start to see that this is a pattern, and even when you're sort of saying, oh, no, that's not how it's meant to be, but you keep doing it or it keeps happening and not being dealt with, then I think that's where you lose people completely. I saw some research that talked about how of the people they surveyed, 78% said that their commitment to the organization declined if something had happened that they saw as a breach of their psychological contract.
That's a big
78%.
number, 78%.
Huge.
I know. And
66% said their performance declined. I mean, this is two-thirds of the people there said their commitment and the way they were doing their job declined if something happened that they felt was a breach. Now, it's not clear from the research whether they'd actually raised that to talk about it, but that's huge, I think.
It's a very significant number, and I think even of those where they'd said their commitment had declined but their performance hadn't, I guarantee you their productivity had, because they would, the commitment is what breeds productivity, right? It's that engagement piece, it's the going the extra mile. So even if they were performing to their usual standards, their productivity would have declined because they wouldn't be going that extra mile, because that psychological engagement is gone, and that willingness to try a bit harder, to do a bit more, to stay back the extra 5 minutes or 30 minutes, whatever it might be, goes. And I've seen this happen with teams, and a manager will say, oh, she walks out the door at 4:30 every day because she's no longer committed to the organization as a result of something you have done. So,
That's right.
it's very, it's, you know, it is hard to build psychological trust, but so easy to break. So it does need to be a consistent effort. But it's really not that hard. Just do what you say you're going to do, fundamentally. And if you can't do
That's
it, don't make
exactly right.
promises. Like, simply just say, I can't commit to that. Your employees will appreciate that far more than you saying yes and not being able to deliver.
Yeah, totally. I think that's it. I think it's the honesty around it. And I think it's really important to be clear that there is a flow-on effect. If people feel that their commitment has declined, you can be sure that that will be reflected in the way they represent your business as well.
Of course,
So this research, 25% said they took out their frustrations on customers. Now, that's the people who just admit to it. But you imagine if you've got people in your team who feel like their psychological contract has been dented or broken in some way, and they're taking it out on your customers. What is that doing to your business generally.
Exactly. And these are just the people that are facing customers or dealing with customers. You have a whole
Yes.
range of people who may be psychologically not committed, but don't have any direct contact with customers. So,
Yes.
but maybe they're dealing with suppliers or your future potential team members. You know, everyone's got a touch point somewhere outside the organization. So it's actually, they're really actually quite scary statistics when we think about it. In terms of the damage done to your business by these psychological contracts being broken.
I think so. Yeah. I think if we as leaders stop and think about what is going on in our team, what do we need to do here? I think there's things we can do pretty simply. As you say, just do what you say you're going to do is a start.
That simple. That really is, you know, not a difficult thing for any leader to achieve. And I see leaders a lot very quickly scurry behind, oh, but I didn't know this was going to happen. Like, I'm sorry, but you don't get to make that excuse when you are a leader of an organization. You have to own the fact you maybe that you don't know the answer right now, or that you can't commit to that. Or if there does need to be a change, again, communicating really honestly, I know I said this was going to happen, but it can't, and here's why, and here's what I'm going to do about that. It's really comes down to really solid communication.
Yeah, I think so. And I think anytime you're hearing from your team that they're stressed or, they're not sleeping because they're worrying about stuff, or they feel like they can't say something, or it's not okay to do this or that, I think you really have to start looking at the team and talking with people about what's going on.
And sometimes it's about watching those signs as well. They may not be telling you that they're frustrated, but I've seen leaders, you know, observe that team members have been not themselves, maybe, you know, described as potentially irritable, moody, emotional, I've heard, which is frustrates me a little bit as a word we use for this. And I would encourage you as a leader to investigate whether that is an internal thing that they're bringing to work, or whether they're in fact reacting to something that's going on at work that actually is in your control, because more often than not, that is the case, in the teams that I certainly work with, that if they're displaying different behaviours, it's quite often a reaction to what's going on in the workplace.
I think that's an interesting point, and I think we need to be really clear that psychological safety doesn't mean there's not going to be any robust discussions. There's not going to be conflict around ideas. It doesn't mean that we're going to wrap our people up in cotton wool and make sure everyone's happy all the time.
That's true. Yeah, that's a good distinction to make, actually, because a psychologically safe workplace is a workplace where people can come to work and feel safe to say what they need to say, be who they need to
Yes.
be, to
Yes.
object or to suggest or, you know, raise their opinions and feel safe to do so, which is actually great breeding grounds for innovation and robust discussions.
Yeah.
That's what it's, as you said, it's not about wrapping people in cotton wool and sitting around singing Kumbaya. It is about creating environments for people to thrive in.
Yes, absolutely. I think that's really important. And to do that, there has to be a level of respect
Correct.
within the team. And
Both
we as
upwards
leaders
and
lead that
downwards.
respect. Totally. Yes. Absolutely.
And I think leaders all too often will, you know, point the finger at the employee. I don't trust them. Trust is a two-way street. And if you're not trusting them, they're not going to trust you. So it has to start with us. We have to trust first in order to build that trust.
Yes. I think there's a good quote. I think it's Jack Butler maybe, who says, you'll do your smartest work with people you're comfortable being human around.
I like that. I haven't heard that one, but I really like that.
Yes. So when we feel psychologically safe, and I know people think it's a really touchy-feely kind of term and that it's a bit kind of waffly, but
But
I
it's
think
such a hot topic right now, right? We're, you know, this is a real
it is.
focus for workplaces of every size, is creating psychologically safe workplaces. And you know, that they're better workplaces. They're more productive. They're more profitable. They're nicer to be in. It's not a woo-woo subject. It is actually real, and it's an important focus, I think. I think we actually may need to do some further episodes unpacking this in more detail, actually, now that we talk about it.
I think so too, because I think we've got to talk about what does it look like.
Yeah.
Because I think there's that element of vulnerability. If we have people in our team who have things to say, but are thinking twice about it, or not saying it because they don't feel like it will be received in the spirit in which they're saying it, or those sorts of things, or they're even not sure how it'd be received, then I think we're not leading effectively.
Absolutely. Yeah, I couldn't agree more. So we will do some further episodes on this, but really today we wanted to focus on the promises we make as leaders and whether they are outward and verbal and loud and clear or assumed and less obvious. Regardless of those two things, our team are, as always, are watching everything we do. And when we don't follow through on those promises, when we don't do what we say we're going to do, the impact is massive. Those stats that Juliet shared, they are huge in terms of your business. So the money you are leaking by simply not following through on promises is astounding. And it's a really simple fix. Do what you say you're going to do.
Yeah, I think, yeah, I bring it back to that every time. I think it's really important. Yeah, great.
Absolutely. So, Juliet, we will definitely circle
Yeah,
back to this whole psychological safety piece because I think it is really valuable and really important. But in the meantime, if you'd like to contribute to this discussion, please join us on the socials. Head over to the Grow Your Influence Facebook page and share your experiences around psychological contracts and psychological safety at work. We'd love to hear your thoughts. And if you have an idea for a future episode, something you would love us to chat about, let us know there too. We'd love to hear from you.
Absolutely. Thanks, Christy Lee. Great to talk. We'll break this down in future episodes and go into some depth around some of these aspects, I think.
Absolutely. Thanks, Juliet. Thanks for joining us on this episode. If you enjoyed the podcast, please leave us a rating, comment, and review wherever you listen to your podcasts. And don't forget to recommend us to a friend. We also love hearing suggestions for topics or guest speakers that you would love to hear from. The best way to reach us to give us those suggestions is over on our Facebook page. Simply head to Facebook and search Grow Your Influence. See you there.